This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 402. Sure, I'm paying for it, but I'm convinced it's paying for itself. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
And welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey, hey, hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing real good. How are you doing?
I'm doing real good. I got hypnotic in my cup, so, you know, it's a good podcast.
I want a centerpiece.
I was not sure exactly what you were about to say there.
I want a penis.
I was like, what kind of wedding did you go to?
I won fiscal responsibility.
Oh, that's not really something you want to win. I mean, you have to win it eventually.
Like, you want to win it.
But you
because
don't.
You want to be, you know, like you
want to have finance that you can spend.
But like of all the things to win, like if it was that or like a new car, I would want a new car.
The responsibility piece of it is kind of
just like,
not the fun part.
Mwah. Essentially.
Mwah, mwah. Oh, well. That being said, all in all, it was a pretty decent week, actually. You know, lots of good stuff on the tubes to watch. Seriously, as far as, like, streaming internet goes, this was a really good week. I had marathon and stuff, like, crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
I've jumped to
anime stuff is starting to roll.
Oh, I haven't even looked at that
yet. Yeah, there's a lot of 2.5 manga things, so that's where it's semi-animated, where basically they just pull and push manga panels.
Uh-huh.
And have voice acting behind it, so it's a 2.5.
Oh, is it like that's part of that style from Fooly Cooly?
Yeah, kinda. Where there's not motion, it's the pull of the strips, but there's voice acting behind it. So there are a bunch of those that popped up on Crunchyroll, as well as a couple of new preview videos for some things getting ready to drop. So, you know, the fall winter anime line coming around the corner looks pretty doggone decent. But I was catching up on some series that I had in my queues that I wasn't really spending time on because I was either playing betas of games or trying to hook things up technologically. I got my car system in, so I've been playing with that thing like a mofo, prepping for whatever the hell Apple is going to announce on Tuesday, because that's going to happen, and I don't care whether you're an Apple fanboy or not. People are going to start dropping money on Tuesday for something that Apple says. Whether it's a phone, a watch, and other things, I don't know. But I'll be watching along with the rest of the world. So, like, in prepping for all that stuff, it was, like, a pretty doggone good week. It was, like, a mad nerdy week.
I mean, I know that they've been updating a lot of stuff on the Hulu Plus side of the streaming media world.
Oh, yeah. Hulu Plus got, like, a shit ton of new content.
Like, I know last summer I was all about that show Whodunit, which is that murder mystery that ABC was trying. And this summer they did another similar thing, except it's called The Quest. And it's like a
there's a lot of people in my social feeds talking about The Quest.
Yeah, Sexy Spock from my PRMP show was a contestant on the show.
Ooh.
And she couldn't tell us until like right before Boston Comic Con. And because, you know, of all the NDA.
Yeah, non-disclosures, like a mofo.
But she was on that show, and they've been releasing each episode on Thursdays. So, literally every Friday morning, now I'm back to work. So, now every Friday afternoon when I get home from work, the first thing I do is I pull it up to follow it because I think it's absolutely wonderful and I'd love to see them continue it, but I know
it's... So, what exactly is The Quest?
So, primarily, it's this other realm called Everrealm. And there's these 12 different kingdoms that have all lived in peace, but there's this fucking black magey thing that kind of reminds
me... Why it always gotta be black?
Like, dark magic.
Sorry.
And his name is Verlox the Darkness, and he is...
Why you always gotta be dark? Sorry.
Anyway.
Sorry, that's the hypno.
But
he's
kind of like, happiness, fuck that shit. I want to take shit over. And these three fates, which I have to say, I have to give this show some credit because of the fates. There's one Asian lady fate, one, like, dark Nubian princess fate, uh-huh. and one Caucasian fate.
So the fates are diverse.
Diverse fates.
All diverse.
Diversifying the fates.
Diversity in the quest.
But anyway, so there's this sun spear that's supposed to be able to defeat Verlox, but it's been shattered into 12 pieces. And the fates had said that there'd be 12 paladins from another world who would come, and they would...
It sounds an awful lot like Dragon Ball.
Except they're not balls. Yep. And there's 12 pieces and not, like, 6 or 7 Dragon Balls. But anyway, so they got 12 people and they bring them to, and literally, like, it's in a castle. Uh-huh. It's all full of, like, it's LARPing, but a competition.
So let me just make sure I got this straight. It's a LARP competition.
Well, they're like the whole scenario.
Is it scripted or like, is
all
it like
all the NPCs, and that's what I'm going to call them, because they have like actors who are acting as like peasants in the kingdom and all this stuff, and you know they've got their commander Asgard who is like totally freaking.
So is it live action EverQuest?
Yes, it is live action
is it scripted?
And everybody else except for the 12 contestants, the 12 paladins.
So it's a reality live action EverQuest?
Yes. And every episode, there is a challenge that they all have to do, and the lowest three get sent to the fates, and they have to go through a challenge. And then after that, whoever survives that gets to go back onto the quest, and the other two face judgment from the other paladins, and you have to side with who you think should stay. And if you don't stay, you get banished. And, like, it is really, like,
freaking good.
So, wait,
so then
good.
The audience votes on who gets to stay?
No, audience has nothing to do with the paladins, other contestants. So it's like Survivor.
All right, so it's Survivor live action
EverQuest. And it's really good. Like, I was worried at first that it was going to be kind of cheesy. And, I mean, like, I've had my experience in the LARP community, but only very lightly.
You had, like, 5 minutes in LARPing.
I played...
Masquerade.
I played Masquerade. And that was probably the most LARPing that I had ever did.
And I only picked that up for like a minute.
Like for 3 months I played Masquerade.
Yeah, in the stream of how you get addicted to stuff, that's like a minute.
Yeah. But so. I did it and I appreciate, like I enjoyed it, but
no,
it's
I
just
fucking
not for
love
me.
LARPing and I love people that enjoy LARPing. I am not a LARPer because I'm not really good at manufacturing stuff. Like I've attempted to make costumes and I've attempted to make weapons before, and that's just not a skill set that I have. So like whenever I do any kind of cosplay, I always have a purchase costume because I'm not a really good seamstress and I don't have
it's something that you develop.
And I don't have the time to really develop that skill.
I mean, I used to have a horrible idea of what LARPers were actually like, and then
used to pass mad judgment back in the day on the podcast.
I used to. And then I saw role models, and I'm like, oh man, if only LARPing was really like that. And actually, eerily enough, if you look at it now, or at least I've gone back and have looked at LARPing now, it kind of is. You just have to be in it. Like, you can't go into it just, you know, pretending for that amount of time that this is, like, you have to make it real. Like, you have to make it real for
you. No,
you
have to get lost in your character. That's why you have to really build your own character.
And if you can't do that, then you're not going to find that enjoyment.
It's like D&D. If I really feel like, if you're not the type of person that can get into the character that you create in a D&D type game, then you're probably not the kind of person that can get into a character really to enjoy LARPing. Just like you can't really get into a character and enjoy something like a Renaissance fair or a cosplay convention, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that is all legit, but we got other stuff to talk about, mm-hmm. not just TV stuff. We have game stuff to talk about. Because there's, like, some game stuff going down this week, too. I don't know if anybody's paying attention to Destiny.
Oh, what? Really? You don't think people are paying attention to that horrible, torturous time?
I still can't find a Ghost Edition online.
You're not going to.
I really expected, like, close to launch, Like, there'd be an influx of some places that'd be like, hey, we just got restocked on Ghost Editions and the game's out now. So, because I'm still trying to get my hands on a Ghost Edition. I will give somebody the physical copy of the game, but I fucking want that ghost. It lights up and talks to you. It lights up and Peter Dinklage tells you that you need pants.
Wait, does he really tell you need pants?
It literally lights up and says, all right, so you need some better gear and equipment.
That does not...
Wait, hold on. It gets better. And then he follows up. Yeah, pants. Definitely pants will help.
Okay.
I want that!
You want Peter Dinklage to tell you...
Not Dinklage, Dinklage.
Dinklage, that you need pants.
Okay, get it straight, Panda. Dirk Diggler.
Dirk
Peter Dinklage.
Dinklage.
Two different people. Okay, Peter Dinklage... Maybe I want to see it in a movie, but it's not the kind of movie you're thinking it is.
Okay.
Actually, for you, it actually probably is the kind of movie you're thinking it is. Probably. So, I want that ghost.
She ain't afraid of no ghost.
No, I'm not. I want that ghost. So, I'm still going to be on the lookout, trying to get the Ghost Edition at some point, so I can have that, because that is going on my desk at work. Possibly, it might take the center spot in my mantle, which would be taking, the spotlight away from Sorcerer Mickey for Infinity, but only temporarily before Disney 2.0 comes out and I have the Marvel characters in Infinity.
Well, I mean, until that happens, I mean, it's not like you didn't get any new additions fairly recently.
No, I got some new additions because I got the hookup from, who was that? Oh, yeah, my sister.
Yeah, me.
And so I've got the Frozen chicks now and...
Rapunzel.
And Rapunzel. And I have incoming the Marvel set, including Spider-Man and Nick Fury.
Nice.
Hawkeye and Nick Fury to complete the set. And then, because they announced the Guardian set, I'm also going to get the Guardian set of heroes.
Oh, goody goody gumdrops.
Yeah, so...
I am Groot.
Pretty much my entire bottom piece of my mantle is just going to be Infinity figures until I completely run out of space, and I'm going to retire everything on the upper level, which includes my PSP, and make room for those guys up there, because Infinity... It's going to happen. It's going to keep going down. Looking forward to that. And those guys are actually shipping this month, so it's going to be a good month for games as we start entering into broke bitch time. But before we talk about really our lust over Destiny and how the countdown clock that currently appears over our game really makes us sad on the PlayStation 4, you know the gamer tags have hit us up. I actually have been playing Dance Central Spotlight, which was one of the games that I was kind of on the fence of whether or not I was going to pick up. Not because I don't enjoy the game, because I love Dance Central. I own 3. Absolutely love it.
Yep, I know.
I don't think that there's ever been a Harmonix game that I've put my hands on that I haven't enjoyed. But I have a very small living room, so...
I know, don't you have the Nyko... thing to make
No, that was when I had the Kinect on the Xbox 360.
Oh, okay.
I have the Xbox One.
That's right now.
And it has the better Kinect. But I was still a little bit leery about, you know, tracking motion games and whether or not that Kinect would still, in the small range that I have, because I have just about 4.5 feet from where my TV is to where my couch is in my living room. And that's really only the space that I have to work with. I was really concerned as whether or not it would be able to track my motions. Some difficulty that I've had with dance-based games other than Just Dance on the Wii U, which, you know, watches the controller that's in your hand for motion to make sure that you're kind of doing the hand motions and the movement that you should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Being short and chunky, sometimes I found that Kinect-based games didn't always track my range of motion as being the correct motion that they were looking for, because I have shorter arms and the way that it sits with my torso, I kind of just look like a blob of chunky fat.
Okay.
To the screen for the most part. That basically walking Jabba the Hutt in the Star Wars movies. It's kind of how I appear to the Kinect camera.
You are not that big.
No, but that's how I appear to the Kinect camera. So some games that just went track, it didn't matter that I was doing the move perfectly because of my height and my figure.
It wasn't registering
the motion correctly. Oh. That's not the case in Dance Central Spotlight, which is the first motion tracking game that I've played on my Xbox One. So first and foremost, shout out to Harmonix for hooking me up with a copy of the game. I really appreciate it. But I spent some time with it this weekend, and I gotta tell you, I am really enjoying the game. I sweat my balls off.
Your balls off?
Yeah, my balls. I had balls. I sweat them off. I don't have balls.
Your balls?
Balls.
Balls?
Balls. No, first and foremost, the game is a $9.99 game. When you download it, you get a small number of tracks to start with, depending upon who you are. I think, frankly, that having 20 tracks to start with is pretty damn good. And more tracks than I really need, seeing as how for each track, there are basically 8 different routines that you can do. Going from beginner to basically straight up choreographer level dance moves.
Yeah, I will never get there.
So, you know, even if you only had 10, you're talking about 80 different routines before you bought anything else to go on it. And the preliminary track, sets of tracks, I should say, are pretty doggone good. There's some stuff from will.i.am's Willpower album. So there's a good mix of EDM, traditional pop dance music. So there's a Cheryl Lloyd song.
Is it I Want You Back?
No, I think it's I Wish.
Oh, okay.
Hey! So there's that song. There's the will.i.am ones. There's, like, a good mix of stuff to start you off with. And then you have the store where you can go in and you can buy more tracks. You can buy packs of tracks just like Rock Band or individual ones. There's a Calvin Harris beat pack that's like $6.49 that has a bunch of tracks in it, or you can buy some of the songs individually. And let's face it, for most rhythm games, music games, there's always songs that you never play because they're not your thing. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like that they didn't ship the game on disc with a bunch of tracks that maybe I wouldn't play, but start me off with a good solid bass and then say, here's the store, pick whatever you like. And I think that for the most part, $1.99 for additional songs a piece that give you 8 routines for that song is completely reasonable. And there's some good stuff in there, too. One thing that I liked about the game is that any DLC that you'd purchased for previous Dance Central games was available to you at no additional cost. So I immediately went and got Hello, Good Morning and re-downloaded that. And it took me a second to realize that, oh yeah, that was my previous DLC because it was listed in the store as $0. And I was like, wait, you're just giving that away for free? And I was like, oh wait, no. I got that from my previous Dance Central game. Oh, sweet. That means that all my DLC should be in there. And sure enough, for the tracks that I had previously purchased, they were there. I was able to download them and have them available to run through for the beginner level stuff, which is great. You have the ability, you have a set amount of dancers that you can be, basically the lead person that you're mimicking.
Right.
And then you have, as you progress through the game and you achieve certain things, you can unlock other ones. So I think some of the fan favorite characters are probably who we're talking about unlocking here and that kind of stuff. The graphics look great.
Okay.
You know, definitely amped up a little bit from as far as style goes and speed from the previous game. One thing that I liked is the calibration tool. It's very simple. First, it has you clap in beat with a dancer. And then the second go round is it plays music and it has you clap 12 times in time to the music. And based off of those two things, it then presents you the dancer again and says, okay, the dancer should now be clapping in time to the music that's playing. If not, you need to recalibrate. And I think that's a really interesting way to go about it.
I agree.
You know, a lot of times I would think that I was hitting a move in previous games and I was not in time with the music. I was in time with the dancer on the screen, but not the music, and that's why I was off.
So they're taking the idea of the calibration from, like, a Rock Band or a Guitar Hero.
And allowing you to set it to what you're seeing and hearing.
Versus what is actually...
Exactly. And so that made it a lot easier to just jump in and play. So after the calibration, jumped in, started playing, I broke a sweat by the end of the first routine.
Whoa.
And I was playing on beginner. But the moves are definitely more intricate in Spotlight. It tracks hand motions now.
Oh.
So before, where you could just get away with, like, flailing your arms, there are now cards that have moves that require a snap. And if I didn't snap, if I just put a fist out, it would mark me off for that and take it away from being an awesome move to a nice move. So it caught that nuance. I guess, you know, also because of the sound that was playing, I'm going to guess. But it did catch that nuance and it would mark me off for that. My legs not being in the right angle position to match, it also picked up on. And there was a lot more hand movement pieces that were in the game, more so than the previous one. There is a lot of raising of the roof. There is a lot of roll motion with arms, which is really good because...
Well, I feel like we were seeing a bit of that in Dance Central 3, where they were showing different types of style of dance a lot more. They
definitely amped it up in this one, though.
Because, I mean, that last battle with Tran, where it's
I
not...
I didn't do the Tran battle.
Okay.
Because I watched you do the Tran battle.
Because that was all pop, lock, ISO... And stuff that you were not necessarily taught through the dances that you do in Dance Central 3.
Yep.
So they just want to see if you can follow an improv, you know, dance routine, which is what that one was a bitch.
And that's one of the things that I respected about that game. This one definitely is more focused on that full dance experience. So it's not just lower body. There's upper body that's built into it. And I think a big piece of that is also because of the fitness mode that's in the game. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about in a second. But one of the things that I loved was as you progress, you now unlock moves. So once you nail a move, you actually get a visual cue as well as an audio cue to let you know that you've now unlocked that card, which means it's now available in other routines. And it's available to be part of the remix piece as well.
Nice.
So that's really kind of an interesting thing. It definitely makes me feel as I was progressing in the game, like I was progressing. I wasn't just doing the routine, but I was unlocking something. I had learned something. I had mastered this thing. And that's a nice feeling. You know, the thing that keeps you going is getting some kind of confirmation that you're doing it right.
You're doing it right.
So that was really good to see outside of just the score multiplier and that going up. Additionally, the fitness mode in the game was also something that I wanted to spend some time with. And I think that this is probably, like, the biggest benefit to the game for people who maybe aren't the greatest dancers in the world and they're not really after becoming the greatest dancer in the world. You have two modes of fitness, which is either cardio or strength training that you can do. And you can then specify the duration for it for anywhere between a 10-minute session to a 90-minute session. So, like, you could do a 10-minute session as as part of your morning regime before you head off to work and shower, or, you know, right after you get in from work, pop a 10-minute really quickly. The workout sessions don't have a break. So if you need to take a break, you need to physically pause the game. But they basically run you through a couple of routines, a bunch of moves, just to keep your heart rate going and your body in motion. And I have to say, I did a 10-minute routine, and I busted my ass. Like, it was as good as some of the dance class type stuff that I had taken at the gym.
Whoa.
As far as getting my heart rate up, you know, there's some jump moves, some kick moves that are in there. So you definitely want to make sure that your connect is sturdily fashioned.
Because you don't want it tipping over.
To whatever it's fastened to, if it's not the wall, so that it doesn't go flying anywhere. But it's definitely a really good workout. And, you know, at the end of it, I found myself going, okay, where's my water? I needed my towel. My dog was barking at me because she didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was having some kind of fit as far as she was concerned, jumping and moving all over the place. She didn't know what was going on. But I definitely felt invigorated after that. I felt like I had gotten a good workout. And I think that that's really... a hallmark of the game that I don't know that a lot of people are talking about, but I love the fitness piece of it. And while you're doing the fitness piece, it does give you a counter to give you an idea of the kind of calories that you're burning.
Okay, which is definitely good if you're using it for pure fitness.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can, like, tweak some information in there if you're comfortable with it, putting your accurate height and weight in there, which will give you an even more accurate idea of what you're burning.
That's the best way to go about it.
which is kind of nice to have in there. But I definitely, enjoyed that piece of it. I didn't get to really mess around with the two-player piece, although one thing that I did read, and if it's the case, I think that it's a great update to the system, is that for two-player play, now another person just has to walk into the frame and stand next to the first player.
Oh, so it's an easy drop-in, drop-out. Oh, nice.
And that's a big piece of, I think, being able to have fun with a game like this, is you gotta have easy drop-in, drop-out. If I've gotta stop a routine, go back to the main screen, have it recognize a person, oh, I've gotta log you into whatever online system I'm in before you can play, and then you can play, so then we can go back in and we can find a song of it. Like, that takes way too much time, way too much effort, and I've lost the, okay, let's just dance thing. Whereas with this, it's just, hey, walk in next to me, boom, you're in, let's go, let's play, do it. I think that that's a lot more inviting and kind of takes away that last barrier to get other people to play the game who maybe have never played it before, which is cool. Like I said, the Xbox Kinect camera definitely tracks me. The Xbox One, I should say, Kinect camera tracks me way better than my 360 Kinect ever did, even in my small limited space in my living room, which was fantastic. And at the time, I was wearing all black.
Ha!
So
you were testing it.
I was testing it, and it passed the test really well, which, again, surprising. So all in all, for $9.99, if you're a fan at all of the Dance Central series, the franchise, you definitely owe it to yourself to pick up the game. It's digital only, so you're not going to be able to find it in stores or things like that. You're going to be able to buy it through the Xbox Store. But definitely, definitely worth it. It's $10. Great workout. You probably pay more to go to the gym. And how often do you actually go to the gym? Like, unless you're vicious.
I don't pay to go to the gym no more.
Unless you're vicious from Gamertag Radio. Yeah, I called you out, homeboy. Who lives in the gym and it shows. Big ups, man. Like, you probably spend money on a gym and you don't go. Spend money on a game that you can play in your living room.
People who pay for a gym membership and don't go are just agreeing to pay a fat tax.
Yeah, they pretty much
every month, are. I am paying to be fat.
Dude, back in the day, I paid the fat tax, except my fat tax was real expensive, so I stopped paying that real quick.
Mine was cheap, so.
Yeah, no, mine was $100 a month, so after like 3 months, I was like, I'm done paying this fat tax. I opt out. So that's like one of the things that I've been playing, and I've really been enjoying it. Like, I also feel like I have more energy after I play Dance Central Spotlight.
Wow.
Like, I'm amped.
Okay.
Which is really nice, because I'm not usually amped after a game session. Typically after a game session, I just want tacos. I'm not gonna lie. I just want tacos.
I don't blame you, dude.
You know, you finish up, you're like,
meh. This is my no judgment face.
Like, a taco would be really good right now. With some extra sauce, because I like to put some sauce on the top.
Ooh.
Get a taco supreme.
Girl, stop talking to me about tacos. All right,
so
anyway,
sorry, I'm going to stop talking about tacos, and I'm going to talk about something else. What was the something else I was going to talk about? Oh, I know. I was going to talk about Beefig. So before I talk about Beefig, I think there's a game that you were playing from the PSN.
Yeah.
Because then we can talk about Beefig together.
Yes, I like that idea.
As like a unit.
Because we're a team.
Because we are, like, a team and stuff. It'll also give me a chance to sip more of this deliciousness in my cup.
Yes. All right, so.
It is delicious.
So I'll take my turn then.
Okay, you take your turn. And then we'll do a combined thing. Yay!
Yay!
Like we originally planned back in the day, and we just never got there.
Yeah, that's happened. So, everyone's fully aware that I did manage to buy myself a PS4. My X-Bone will come eventually. I have been eyeing the channels for the white one that's going to get bundled with Sunset Overdrive. So hopefully that will be...
Are you sure?
Now you have me dreading... What?
I'm just saying. Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, so... but that in due time will come, which I'll be excited about. But I also decided to take advantage of finally becoming a PlayStation Plus member.
Oh, you jumped on the Plus?
Yes, I jumped
Isn't
on the Plus.
Isn't the Plus the ish?
It is. And, like, for the longest time, I was like, I don't see the point of that. You're paying for the game. And you're really, like, I really can't say that. Like, I can't say dick to it, because since I've had it, and I've probably had it for, like, 3 months now, I notice at least every month I'm adding a new game to my PS4, and that's not something that I would normally do with my PS3 or my Xbox 360. And because that's, you know, the fact that PlayStation Plus will highlight all the free games, like there's new free games every month. So I have decided to take it upon myself that every month I'm going to go into the PSN, get a free game, and that will be a game that I talk about on the show at some point. Oh, by the way,
Panda, if you actually want that white Xbox One with Sunset Overdrive, you probably ought to pre-order that shit soon, because Amazon has them.
After the show. Anyway. So,
you might want to get on that.
Yep, gonna do it. and anyway.
And they're gone.
No! Anyway. So I've decided that I'm going to download one of the free games that is showcased in the new
free
games.
But if you pay for Plus, is it really free?
Well, here's the thing. So, I mean, okay, so I go and say...
It's a reduced price.
Some of them are reduced and some of them are free. So, I mean, like, if you buy six of the, like, billions of the free games, you're totally...
If you play any multiplayer and you buy...
Like, it's paying for itself.
Yeah, basically.
Essentially. And yeah. I don't have any problems with that.
But only if you actually get the Plus games.
Right. Well, that's what I've been doing. So, like...
Yeah. All right. So, Plus game?
So, for the month of August, they released... I think they showcased five different PSN titles that became available on the PSN free to play.
Really? Typically, they only do three things.
There were four. This one, I guess, one's more like an add on to a game.
Oh yeah, sometimes they throw add ons in.
But the game that I saw and like I looked at the preview and I thought was super cute and kind of up my alley for indie games was a game called Road Not Taken, and it's by Spry Fox.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Spry Fox.
Yeah.
And, this is a little picture, and, like, it looks like a little wizard guy, and he's got his little torch, and he seems to be walking. And it's this roguelike puzzle game.
Oh, I saw that game, and I looked at the description, and I was like, wait, I think this is way too much work for me.
And I'm gonna get to that.
Because it sounded really cute. Like, he has a purple robe, right?
Like, it's like a maroonish, maroonish purple robe.
He looks like a Jawa.
He does kind of look like a Jawa.
Okay, yep, I know the game you're talking about.
And I feel like a Jawa and the Black Mage from the Final Fantasy, they hooked up, and this is what we got.
Yep.
And like I said, it's like a roguelike puzzle game, and it's really about surviving through life's surprises. So you're this little wizard ranger guy, and you're traveling through this world that is suffering through this very bitter, brittle winter, to the point that... These children are being separated from their parents, wandering through the woods, and they can't stay out there that long because it's so ice cold, it's killing them. And
yeah, that's a bad thing.
And it's pretty bad. And, you know, you're just wandering through, you don't have much of a backstory at that point. And when you finally get to a town, the mayor's like, can you help us? And like, this is year one. So like, I think the game is going to go through an assortment of years, depending on what you do.
Oh Lord.
And in my game, because literally it's a puzzle, and you yourself are affected by the wind too. And there's a counter, so there's a certain path that there are multiple paths you can take, but you have to go through each area, unlock the gates to get through them before you freeze and pass out. And you use your little magical wizard powers to like move trees, and you have to make patterns. So like, there's like a little map that says you need three trees that look like a triangle and like a rock in the corner. So you have to match the screen to the sign in order to get through. So you are competing against the clock and your abilities to lift things, and you have to put them exactly how you see them, and you can't just pick something up and move it, because depending on where you picked it up, on your right, your left, in front of you, or behind you. So you have to be very strategic about where you pick things up to navigate them to move. Because if you do it the wrong way, it eats up your time, and you're not going to get through, and you might not get to the kid, and you might not get back to the town and able to, restore the child to their parents. And all these things have consequences. So, your actions, whether or not you save a kid or not, not only influences what happens in your personal story, but it also affects the people in the town and how they react to you. Because when you first get there, they're all just kind of like, you know, we're all trying to survive and all my kids and, you know, and, oh, you can help. And then you don't help. And they're like, well, I know not to trust you anymore. And, like, the whole point is you want everyone to trust you and befriend you. But, you know, life is unpredictable and you can't, not everybody can like you. And I feel like this game, so far, at least in my experience, has proven to me that, you know, I can't help everybody. I mean, like, the first time I went through the world, and I don't know if this is scripted or not yet because I don't have a second play file to know, but in my first year there, I did not solve the puzzle and didn't save the kid, and the mayor came out and was like, I'm going to bring you back to town. When you're ready, we'll try this again. And when I woke up, it was year two.
Oh.
And I had no idea where the whole year had gone. So that's 1 year I did nothing. And, like, everyone's like, oh, he's just mooching off of us. He's not doing... like, they are just quick to be like, WTF to me. And, I mean, but I like it. Like, I like the idea of being pitted against, you know, my strategical brain and how fast I'm able to figure out what I need to do. And, I mean, and I suck at this game.
I was about to say, how strategical is your brain?
It's not very, because I keep passing out and dying. Well, not dying. I just pass out from the cold. And I've only saved one child. And she's like, you're the best. And
well, mom, yeah. I think you were the most amazing thing on the planet if you saved me.
Like, the whole village gets to raise one child now. Like, it's pretty...
Hooray! Pretty, we got a kid!
So, if you're curious about Road Not Taken, like I said, it is available on the PlayStation 4 and the PSN. It is also available on Steam for the PC and the Mac. So, at least they were nice enough to realize that not everybody is on a PC.
Yeah, I thought that I might actually pick it up for my Mac, because I sit on my Air sometimes, and if I'm not doing, like, little graphic things or checking Facebook, I'm like, I should do something else on this machine. But whatever could that be? This sounds like a game that I would probably play on my Mac, but I probably won't play on my Mac because it sounds like a lot of work.
It is, but I feel like the story is enough.
The story sounds gorgeous, and like the visual looks great.
I feel like the story is supposed to teach you something the way that Journey teaches you about an aspect of character in life.
By the way, did we ever figure out when the revamped Journey hits PlayStation 4?
Because I want in on that. I'm getting it.
Yeah, because I'm on that.
But anyway,
unlike Donkey Kong, go ahead, Nintendo, try to charge me money for that.
But anyway, like I said, I mean, it's really cute, and it's really meant to make the player think.
And games like that are really deserve limelight.
Yes. So, I mean, as soon as I saw it, I mean, and I think you can buy it for like $15 on Steam now. And, I think you have to pay for it now because, you know, now we're in September, so we have new games.
Yep.
But it is, I think, for a reduced price if you're a PS, a PlayStation Plus member.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I feel it's completely worth the $15 if you're going to get it on Steam. I actually feel like the navigation on how to move objects to do your map would probably be a little bit easier on a PC and or a Mac, like through a mouse, probably, as opposed to navigating with analog sticks.
Yeah, the game was probably developed first
there, and then ported over here, which, hey, I'll take it. Not a big problem. But so if you're a PC lover, this might be something that you'll gravitate towards and be far better at than me. But that's what I've been playing fairly recently.
That's a good one. I'm about finished with Wolfenstein. It's the last couple of missions are really pissing me off. But I'm going to finish Wolfenstein, so that review is still coming, because I'm not writing this thing until I finish this fucking game, and I'm going to finish it. But Wolfenstein aside,
okay,
and Destiny...
Just not, put it down for a second.
I can't.
You gotta wait like everybody else. Just put
it's
it down.
It's like 18 gigas.
Just put it down.
I don't want to, but I have to. Okay, so outside of those things, which, by the way, if you haven't searched online for any of the player card codes and put those in your Bungie account, you should do that.
What?
So you what? Should do that. And make sure that you have stuff for launch. So do that. Internet, it's a thing. They're all over the place. I think IGN probably has the cleanest list of, like, all of them.
Okay.
So that. Make that happen. B-Fig.
It's literally that time of the year again in Boston.
That's right. Boston Festival of Indie
and
Games.
And by Boston, I mean Cambridge, yes. Which is not necessarily Boston.
It's near Boston.
It should be Cambridge Festival of Indie Games. But it's Boston.
Well, because C-Fig doesn't sound as good as B-Fig.
Well, I mean...
Like, B-Fig just has more
base.
I mean,
C-Fig just makes me think of, like, 70% games.
No.
And B-Fig makes me think 80% games.
B-Fig just has, like, base in it, and you're just like, you want to go to B-Fig? And you're like,
I want to go to C-Fig.
But if you're like, you want to go to C-Fig, I'm like, I don't even eat seafood.
I do. Sign me up.
See, so that's why we're different.
Sign me up.
Whereas if you're like beefing, I'm thinking like, yeah, let's get some beef.
Yeah.
And games.
What? Yeah.
Beefing. Boston Festival of Indie Games goes down this Saturday, September 13th. Ooh, ooh. And we're looking forward to it. It's on the MIT campus again this year. I think they've taken a little bit more space than they did last year, which
yes.
is great to hear and see that they're expanding, because it was definitely, as far as the space to view some of the digital games, it was a little bit of crowd. I don't think that they expected to have as many people as they had come through and try stuff. But I was really glad to see as many people come through to try stuff. They're doing some giveaways. I think they've partnered with WAAF for a PlayStation 4 giveaway. They're doing family passes this year, so B-Fig doing big stuff, which is fantastic to hear and say. But we will be there. ESH will be in the building all day long, checking out everything. Digital games, tabletop games. We're going to a couple of panels. We might be going to a party. Probably gonna eat.
I know where I'm eating.
I know where we're probably eating, because the Asgard is delicious.
It's so good!
So, any excuse to go there is a good excuse. And the end of a day playing games is a good excuse as far as I'm concerned. But we'll see. One of the things that I'm really interested in is I've been spending some time on their website checking out some of the digital games that are going to be at the show that you'll be able to try out, test out, learn more things about.
Mm-hmm.
And there's definitely, a more diverse amount of games digitally this year than last year, which is really cool. You know, they have the indie showcase of the games that were developed specifically to win a spot in a showcase and be touted through the show. But then they also have the additional games that people are just bringing to show off their wares and have people try them, test them, and all that kind of stuff. And as I was looking through some of the games, there were quite a few that really, like, piqued my interest. One, of course, is one of my faves, which we've talked about a little bit before, Cat Lateral Damage, which is going to be a B-Fig, which is cool. I actually backed Cat Lateral Damage on Kickstarter because I love the game so much. I really wanted it to
happen.
Well,
you're a cat person.
I'm a dog person who happens to also like cats. Really?
You had cats first before the doggies.
No, I had dogs before the cats. I had Duke way before I ever had a cat.
So you just
Damian
like
Lady, and I like animals. I'm a pet person, okay? I like guinea pigs. I like ferrets. I don't have room for ferrets, but if I did,
if
I
you
have
did,
a ferret,
you would.
And I would name my ferret Ferret Fawcett.
Okay.
Because Ferret Fawcett.
Yes, I get it. Right. I get it.
So anyway, I like animals, but Cat Lateral Damage was one that I backed on Kickstarter just because I loved the idea of it. It's just, as the game, you're a cat and you're about destruction. So you play
you're
on
about
screen.
Vengeance against the humans who have kept you bundled up, and you're repressed and
so
angry.
You're just knocking over shit.
You're taking it out on the apartment.
Yep, and you're just knocking over everything, destroying everything. I love that.
Fuck this mug.
Just fuck this mug. I love that.
That's a sign of dominance, by the way. When cats do that, they're trying to assert their dominance.
It's a sign of dominance for a lot of things. If I come into your house and I start knocking over your shit,
oh my god, I'd be so mad. Like, what is going on?
I'd be like, fuck your mic.
I'm like, no! What did I do now?
Shoe. Fuck your wontons.
Whoa!
What you gonna do about it? Nothing.
Nope.
Duck sauce.
I'll just pick this up when you leave.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yep.
Two for flinching. But anyway, Catlateral Damage is going to be there, so we're definitely going to stop by there just to play it a little bit more before it actually becomes available. But it did get fully funded, so that was really cool. I love being part of Kickstarters that actually get funded, because that means I'm actually going to get the shit, and that makes me happy. Also, another one that I thought was really interesting was a game called Notorious Inc., and it's a game that's like up my alley, but it's kind of my, I don't let it be known that it's one of my alleys.
Okay.
So I love Sid Meier's Civilization.
Yeah, oh, we know that.
All the Civ games. And so I really enjoy PC games that allow me to do life simulation type things. And so Notorious is a web and mobile game that basically makes the players run a corrupt multinational corporation. So you have to, like, buy and sell guns and narcotics and stolen cars and, like, all kinds of illicit goods and stuff on the black market.
You're part of the seedy underbelly.
Yeah, basically you are.
You are running a business in the seedy, the most seediest parts of your town.
So like in Civ, where it's about conquering other nations and using technology to do so, or science to do so, in Notorious, it's basically using all of like the seedy underbelly, like horrible black market stuff to take over the world, basically.
Right.
So where Civ is kind of like on the positive side of the spectrum of growing your society forward, Notorious is literally on the other side of the spectrum of just completely destroying society and bending it to your will through the use of guns and narcotics and the black market and being evil. So you start off as a small-time executive, and you have to grow to the globally super feared super villain.
Okay.
So I'm really looking forward to this game. I can't wait to get my hands on it. I'm really interested in this one. So that one's like on my radar. Another one that's on my radar is a game called Gemini. And Gemini, as soon as I read the description on the website, I was like, I have to spend time with this game because it reminds me so much of just in its description of Journey, that I was like, I have to see this thing to make sure that, like, it's legit. But basically, Gemini is a game that's about a journey of two stars. And the player has to guide these two stars into the heavens to light up the sky by controlling their movements and interacting with another star. And so the stars dance with each other, and it's all about fluid motion and going through the world. And
I so hope that it's co-op in the sense that you are playing with somebody else, very much like Journey, where you don't get to speak and you just have to, like, learn how to communicate
without
words.
There's no dialogue. There's music, but
we need more games like that. I'm sorry.
So, well, here's one of them. And the game pulls from like Greek mythology and Buddhist teachings, so it sounds really deep. And so I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it. I have high hopes for it. So it's like on my list of like games that I definitely want to spend some time with while I'm at the show, talk with some people about. And then the other one is it's just because, damn it, it's up my alley. Big Action Mega Fight. So the game is described as a classic beat-em-up brawler. It's very cartoony. It's designed for touch screens. So it's built for smartphones and tablets. But basically, the city is overrun with gangs, and it's up to Brick Strongarm, this character, and his killer mustache to save the city. So I kind of feel like it's like,
it's like,
what was that, really silly, JoJo cartoon?
JoJo's
Bobo.
Crazy. Oh.
No. Bobo.
Oh.
And Beautiful Joe.
Yes.
Had a baby.
Okay.
And then they made this game.
Whoa.
Is what I feel like from the description and some of the visuals that I've seen, that that might be the quirkiness that's going on in there. So I gotta check it out. You had me at Brawler, so you know I have to check it out. But and there's like a ton more games, which is really great to see, listed out for being in the digital area for BFIG. I can't wait to see what's going on in the tabletop as well, because we did find a couple of really interesting games in tabletop last year when you went. But I am so looking forward to, like, those few games. And there's some other ones I'm going to definitely check out. Borumo, I'm going to check out. I'm probably going to check out, what do you call it? Nog. I might check out High Strangeness. I might not. You know, action RPGs do fit in my wheelhouse, so we'll see.
Right.
But there's some, like, great games. And I think you even had a couple that you were looking at, Pam. Yeah, I was looking. You're like, on my list, on my list.
I'm looking at, I want to look at Vidar, which is a top-down RPG where, like, everybody's dying.
That pretty much has your name on it.
Rapidly declining. Like, I kind of like the idea of being able to, like, go around a place and, like, try to stop the decay. But I feel like it might be one of those things where you can't necessarily.
Yep.
Another one that I'm really interested in getting my little grubby panda hands on is Whispering Willows.
Which is going to
be a horror adventure puzzle game that I think is going to be for the PC side of stuff and even the Ouya. And if it's got horror in it, I'm pretty much foaming at the mouth for it.
Yeah.
Another game that I was looking at that I think will just be a nice fun change of pace for me is going to be that rock, paper, scissor game, which I feel like is going to be more than just rock, paper, scissors.
Right.
Like, I feel like they're going to make there's something innovative about it. So I'm kind of curious about that. And then there's one other one that I don't know how I would possibly write about this one, but I'm kind of curious about it. The Sext Adventure.
It's
about the texting game about sexting, which I have never done that in the last week. And
say that with a straight face to Jesus.
I feel like I would be very good at this game.
I think
I'm going to put my money where my fingers are, which is on my lap.
Ew.
On my lap.
Inappropriate.
Hand check. Sorry, that was inappropriate.
So inappropriate.
Honorable mentions, like, if I can get to them, I really want to. I want to see Rain World. Like, I think that's going to be a very interesting game to look at. And then I think really the kind of the last one outside of that one, I think this cutie one, Mushroom 11, which is like a post-apocalyptic puzzle platformer, which I'm assuming has something to do with like a magical mushroom or like a humanoid mushroom that has to do something in the world. And I mean, I'm all about innovative stuff that is going to take us outside of the mainstream of games.
I'm kind of surprised that Never Alone didn't make your list.
You know, like, I looked at it, and, like, I think, like, if I have time, I'm probably gonna sit and try to... Because
that definitely looks like one that should be on our list.
Yeah. Like, it's cute. Like, and I like the idea of, you know, it's like a survival, you know, this...
It's a puzzle platformer.
With you, well, you as a little girl and her Arctic fox, like, in the Antarctic, or whichever Arctic people can actually live in. I forget which one that is. I think it's the top bottom one? No? There's only two, so I can only 50%.
You got a 50-50 shot on this.
It's like either you live or you die. You die.
Take the right one.
And then I think I'm pretty interested in High Strangeness, only because I like the idea that they plan to try to make this game a hybrid of like an 8-bit and a 16-bit game.
Yep.
And like are going to try to play with that notion, which I think is really interesting. And I also do want to spend some time in the tabletop indie section, because I've never stepped in there for more than like 8 minutes, and I feel like since I've been devoting a lot of this year to playing new tabletop games.
Did you find the depression game in the tabletop last year?
No, but I heard about the depression game there. And now there's a version of that game in a digital form.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So, but I want to spend some time in the indie board section because I've been, like I said, devoting a chunk of this year to playing up to at least 30 new board games within the year. And I'm actually at number 27, so I might actually make my 52 stretch goal, which essentially is like one new board game a week. Which
How you have a stretch goal? You ain't got a Kickstarter.
It's a personal stretch goal. So 30 was my gamer resolution, but if I made 30 within the year, I was going to push to the full 52 if I could. I don't think I'll get the 52, but I think I'll get really close. So keep rooting me on because I enjoy it a lot, and I've been finding it more and more fun every time I've jumped into it. So, I mean, I think BFG has a big cache of interesting games. I think we're going to see a whole lot of games that are going to have an interesting little twist of educational value to them.
There's a chunk of those.
I've been seeing more and more games that have been coming from that front of educational, which, one, I mean, I work in the school system, and I know we use a lot of iPad games and tech in my particular school, so I'm, like, always looking to see what's coming up because we might be able to incorporate them into my classroom.
Well, there's that lyric game to teach, lyrical, to teach language through music. You know, I think that would definitely fit in that kind of bucket and one and two and a one and a two.
And a three and a four and a ching chong potato.
No! No, Panda! No! Bad! Bad wrong! Bad wrong! No! Not that! But I think that teaching the children
You should never have taught me that lyrical. You sent me the meme, and then
you
sent
me lots of memes.
You sent me the meme, and then you sent the meme.
We say that in the house, and now, not on the
and
podcast.
Now I've heard it, so now when I hear that count, it's Panda, the first thing I do.
In your head, not out your mouth. In your head, not out your mouth.
It was, it's
funny. Mm. So anyway, there's quite a few games about teaching at BFG, Lyrical being one of them, a couple of other ones that are in there as well. So I think that this is going to be a very interesting show, and what I love about BFG is because it's open to the public, and it's a lot of independent developers, and for many people demonstrating their games at the show, their first time ever being a developer, putting their games out there and letting families and kids and just general people come and play their stuff.
Yeah, I think children under 15 go free.
Yeah, they do. So I think that that's really cool, and it creates a really interesting vibe, way different than a PAX, you know. And so I look forward to BFG, and I can't wait to go this year. We're going to be talking about a bunch of the things that we play next week on the show for sure. So make sure that you tune in next week to pick up on all that stuff and find out what we played, what we didn't play, what we loved, what we didn't, what we ended up buying. Because for many of these people, they're selling their wares right then and there because, you know, they're trying to make some money off of this wonderful thing that they created. As well as some panels. There are a couple panels that I plan on attending. For sure. There's even a panel, that someone's doing on how to get into, doing video game journalism. So there's all kinds of stuff there. There's a panel, discussion on doing soundtracks and all kinds of stuff. So whether you're a developer, you've always wanted to make your own game, or you just want to be around some people that maybe can inspire you to get into the industry in this way, definitely make sure if you're in the area that you come out to BFG. You can still buy tickets. I think you can even do the family passes at the discounted rate up until Friday on the 12th. So if you haven't yet made plans to hit up BFG, then you should. Otherwise, you're not my friend anymore.
Oh, don't be like that.
It's fine. I'm just saying, if you're in the Boston and or Cambridge area, particularly on Saturday, and you're like, oh man, I don't know what to do, come on by BFG.
We'll be there.
We'll be there. BFGing it up. Worst case scenario, you get to play some games and go to Anna's Taqueria.
Yeah.
That. So, don't say I didn't tell you, because I did.
No one's going to say that you didn't say anything.
No, they might say, because sometimes people be talking shit. It is the internet.
Well, you know, it's none of my business. sips my tea.
Yeah.
Now that I know that meme, I use it all the time.
Seriously.
I'm like, blah, 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 but, you know, it's none of my business. And I'm like, I'm that person. I've realized I'm that person in my group.
You just realized that?
I just realized, like, I don't talk about people's personal stuff, but, like, the lighter stuff that I know other people know about, but, like, they don't know.
You talk shit about people.
I talk about things. And, like, no,
and then act like you didn't.
I don't talk about priority one stuff. I talk about, like, priority three that I know other people know about, but I'm still trying to size up who knows what.
No, sometimes you bring up priority two, though, and then you try to act like you didn't.
I've done that. But I've noticed.
Or you brought up priority one stuff thinking it was priority two, but found out it was priority one.
Yeah. That's happened
in front of exactly who should not know about it.
That's happened like six times. And I was like, fuck! Wasn't supposed to say that.
But I opened my mouth.
Damn it! No, I've done that. But I've realized in my circles, like, because I'm always trying to figure out who knows what, because I know that when someone's like, oh, you can't say this to somebody,
that
I know.
That means don't open your mouth.
But here's the thing.
Snitches get stitches.
I know that when someone comes to me, because my friends know me, okay?
So they all know that you can't keep your damn mouth shut.
That I can't.
And
so
you,
I know.
You are not the person to trust secrets with.
So I know that when they've come to me, they've already told at least two other people before me.
Doesn't matter. If I tell you not to open your mouth, you don't open your mouth.
I know that by the time you come to me, somebody else already knows, so I'm kind of half filling out
but
who knows.
But what if that's not the case? What if they trust you so much that they came to you first and you run your mouth?
Don't know anyone who matches that description.
You don't know for yourself that that's the case, but they probably know it.
Maybe, I don't know. But needless to say.
Ready, set, when someone says, hey, don't say nothing, but you know what that started with?
Don't say nothing. So I'd be like, anyway, it's like, don't say, I will not use the word nothing in how I'm.
So everything she said was this.
It's like, so I heard that, like, this thing might have gone down a couple of days ago. Do you know any? Oh, no? All right, never mind. Bye. It's none of my business.
Yep. You got hit by Panda.
Yep. I've done it.
All the time. Not done it.
Not all the time.
Panda, all the damn time.
Not all the damn time.
All the damn time.
Just more.
Days and
more,
then why?
More than 72.8%.
Panda.
No less Panda. Than 85.6.
Panda.
So, like, there's a good chance if you've told me a secret that I have told somebody else.
Don't tell Panda secrets.
Now, mind you, I know I've got one person that I can tell whatever I want to, and that person never
says
anything.
And let me guess, when you're like, oh, don't say nothing, surprise, surprise, they don't say nothing.
Well, because I know they're not in the circles that, like,
doesn't matter who's in
whose
circle. That's what trust is. If I tell you don't say nothing, I can trust you not to say nothing.
Well, then, you know what, you may, don't trust
Panda.
Don't trust
her
with your credit card number. Do not. No, seriously, I'm gonna be real with you guys right quick. Like, I can memorize number sequences. Like, you can believe it.
I know
weird.
You're Rain Man with that. You can't remember when to fucking post the podcast. But
nope. But if you flash me your debit card number, I can.
She's
bring
going
it back
shopping.
To you. No, that's not it. I'm just saying that I have this weird retention with number sequencing. So if you show me a flash of numbers, I will repeat them right back to you. But if you ask me what day it was, I'd be like, I don't know. Like, it's weird. Like, I feel like I might be a Chobits. And my learning software is just completely off. But you never know.
And that's why we do this podcast. Because your first thought isn't, maybe I have a learning disability. Nope, your first thought is, maybe I'm a Chobit.
And maybe I'm not human. But to err is to be human.
Yeah, and you err all
day. Oh my god, I err all day. Day. Should just be called Pandalicious Day.
Yep. So, with that being said, BFA, we're looking forward to it. We'll be there all day. Make sure that you keep up with us. You can hit us up on our socials, facebook.com/landofesh, or on Twitter at ESH News. Let us know if there's a game that you've heard about that you'd like us to check out, you want our thoughts on. We'll make sure to stop by. Just message us and say, hey, ladies.
Hey, make ladies. Sure
you check out blah, 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 Planes versus Trains for whatever reason, because I want to know about it, and we will do our darndest to make sure that we stop by everything that you guys ask us to and include at least something about it on the podcast, but definitely some written things that you'll find on our website, www.egmnow.com. As I've said before, you will always find our podcast, if no place else, at www.electricsisterhood.com, but you will find it other places. iTunes, both on the desktop and on the iOS via the podcast application, searching for ESH Cast and subscribing. You will also find it in the Microsoft Store. You'll also find it on Stitcher. We're on Vogue Network. We're on the interwebs. Pretty much if it's a podcast search engine, just search for us. More than likely you'll find us. After all, we're over 400 episodes deep.
I know. We so big.
So make sure that you check out the podcast. Big ups to everyone that's popped on to our social channels this week and become friends. We got a bunch of you from a couple of Follow Friday recommendations, and we appreciate it. Especially the homie that right now is banging through the marathon. Hopefully by the time you get to this episode, it will have been a couple of days. But shout out to you, marathoning it, because starting from scratch and marathoning Esh is hardcore.
Oh, my God. Wait, so, what?
Yeah.
What's someone? Oh, God.
That's why you should pay attention to our socials.
I apologize for episodes 1 through 112.
Panda was not present.
It's weird, because for the beginning of the show...
No, you were not present.
No, for the first 3 weeks, I was totally for, but we were struggling so hard, and I was like, you know what, maybe this isn't a deal. And then when Magic came on board, I'm like, oh, there's three of us, so I could be even more lazy. And then she left, and I'm like, now I have to be less lazy. And here I am now. Essentially.
So, yeah.
So I apologize for episodes 1 through maybe even 200.
Yeah, let's be legit. Like, there are quite a few podcasts where I was like, well, what do you think, Panda? And you're like, huh?
Huh? What? I wasn't listening to you.
Yeah.
No.
But yeah.
But
yeah,
I have learned to be nicer about it now.
So seriously, shout out to at Okashina, who is currently marathoning our podcast.
Oh, God, man. If you get through it, I think I'm going to talk to our friends at Microsoft and ask them to give you, like, an achievement.
There's got
to
be an achievement for that.
It's like,
if nothing else, we'll make our own.
You did the thing.
You did the thing. We haven't even done the thing.
I don't even re-listen to our shows, and I'm on them.
I haven't listened to all 400 episodes, and I'm on these things.
It's like, and so, I love the sound of my voice.
Big ups for that. Make sure that you check out the other projects that our crew works on. No Borders, No Race on Tuesday by King Baby Duck at B3.com, B3crew.com. The Geek Aggro Podcast, great music, EDM, trap, stuff that will make you wiggle your bottom on Wednesdays at GeekAggro.com. On Thursdays, if you've got issues.
He's got issues.
Y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy Issues Program, call in live. Be part of that show. Be on the YouTube stream. I mean, it is crazy. It is fun. It is random. There is nothing like it. Make sure that you check all that stuff out. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. The shit that I am digging this week is you guys, because we do this because people enjoy it, not just ourselves, but other people listen to the show. They ask us questions and enjoy our take on video games and the industry and anime. And so we do it for you, and you seem to really enjoy it. So I fucking love you guys. Panda, what are you digging this week?
All right, this is going to be really weird, but I'm digging Inkjoy pens. Like, I got a pack because, like, the commercial just makes it look so awesome. And eerily enough, it's probably the smoothest written, like, smoothest ink pen I've probably written with in, like...
You know, I have a 30-pack of those hiding someplace downstairs.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. And I bought 6, and they're all in my bag.
Yeah, no, I got like a 30-pack someplace.
And I love the Rainbow collection. I love them. And I'm not a big Papermate fan, but these Inkjoys, they're like turning me on to a whole new phase of pens. So I'm digging Inkjoy this week.
So as always, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next time, people.
Stay classy.